The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Hey, welcome, everybody. Today is, June 10th, 2022. And if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And as usual, I hope you guys are having a great day out there. May the Lord bless you. And if you have questions on theology, apologetics, whatever it might be, and you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And, now, on Fridays, what I often do on Fridays is hate mail, and people enjoy it, so I think I might get into that a little bit, and want to give you a heads up and just say that we stay on the air by your support. Please consider supporting us. Just go to carm.org/donate. Not a big deal. I rarely ask. Lately, I have for the past week or so, but $5 a month is good. All right, and we really do need your prayers. We need prayers. We need a lot of prayers because this is a tough ministry. We are just sticking our nose into the realm of heresy in different groups, different churches, different things. And, you know, it's a little tough sometimes, but that's okay. It's just what we do. And, you know, it's just a ministry that that Carm does. All right, having said all of that, four open lines, 877-207-2276. We can get into some other stuff. I got the hate mail. I was reading some hate mail, so I might get to that after the callers. We'll see what happens. Why don't we just jump right on the line, and let's just get to Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Rudolph, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Yes, sir. I was wondering, do you know what Christian nationalism is? I heard about it on the radio.
Christian nationalism, I'm not really sure what it is. I think it's to say that our country is a Christian country. I think that's what it means. But I don't know. I'm going to look it up real fast and see if they make some comments on it. Proclaim the political program for every true believer. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I can write about it and see, because I haven't heard the term hardly at all.
Me either, because my friend Travis Jackson asked me, he's scared to call you. I don't know why, but he wanted to know about it, and I said, well, why don't you ask Matt Slick?
Well, I'm looking at some definitions. Yeah, it's the belief that the American nation is defined by Christianity, and that the government should take active steps to keep it that way. Christian national, yeah, I affirm that. It was defined by Christian principles, and we should work to keep those Christian principles in our governmental system. You know, things like, these are foreign concepts, a lot of politicians, things like integrity, other-centeredness, self-sacrifice, you know, just stuff like that, which they don't seem to have. So, yeah, that's what that is, okay? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, man. Well, God bless, Rudolph.
God bless you. Thanks.
All right.
What's that?
What's that? No, I said God bless.
Oh, you too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, five open lines, wide open, 877-207-2276. And since we have nobody waiting right now, what I think I'll do is do what a lot of people like and some people don't like, and that is hate mail. Now, me, I like it. I like hate mail. I like it when people write and complain and whine and tell me about myself and how bad I am. I get a kick out of it. I just do. So let's check this out. Now, this email's a little bit old, but it's still good. Let's debate and engage the issue about the Christian church being built upon St. Peter, or are you a coward? Now, notice what this says. Let's debate it, or are you a coward? So if I don't want to debate it with this guy, then I'm automatically a coward. Whenever someone starts off a discussion like that, I disregard them because they're being irrational, over-emotional, illogical. And why would I want to get into debate with someone like that? They don't listen. They don't think already, I can tell. Anyway, He says, this would be good for our readers. We can address the issue and of who clearly has the one true religion. And this is another thing that gets me. The one true religion. It's not Jesus who's true. It's the true religion. That's what salvation is about. Getting in with the true religion. Wrong. It's about Jesus. He goes on, you are a cowardly heretic running around from opponents. Now, I'm smiling. I'm chuckling. I love it when people just get right to the point. You are a cowardly heretic. That's good. Running around from opponents. And deep down inside, you realize. Now, I love this kind of stuff. I mean, the guy's telling me, you know. I'm going to tell you what you already know, because deep down, I know what you know. Where do these people get off? You know, they're going to tell me what I think. He goes, deep down inside, you realize that you are scared, as all heretics are when put to the test. And you see, when I, like I said, if I meet people who are like this, I fine, we're done. We're, I'm not talking. Oh, you're afraid. You know, just go away. You know, your diapers are full. And they, see, there's not worthy of being a serious debate because they can't debate. He says, you can't stand the heat. You know that if I debated you, you'd have no place to run and hide to cry for your mommy. That's awesome. That is good stuff. You trembling cower before the truth and fear deeply in your Protestant heretic anguish to lose status in the eyes of your fellow. Oh, my goodness. This is good. I have never heard this. I've never heard this insult before. It's good. I got to read it again because I didn't complete the sentence. You trembling coward before the truth and fear deeply in your Protestant heretic anguish to lose status in the eyes of your fellow insect heretics that look up to you and your heresies. You are a slick little girl. This guy wants to debate me. It's like, I could just, you know, sometimes I might want to just entertain a debate. Go, okay, I'll debate you. just say things to tweak him. See what he does. You know, and just say, I don't like your pope. And just see what he does. You know, I think you're a pope worshiper. And just, you know, watch him go off. And just you know, sit back and enjoy it. I'm the kind of guy who would do it, though. That's a problem. Problem in my character, I'll tell you. Okay, let's go on. He says, oh, this is good. I have twice your brain power with half my brain and both hands tied behind my back. I can take you on with many heretic pests at the same time in debate. If you are a fraidy cat, that helps to help this little insect pets. So, man, that's a pretty good one. That's good. Maybe we should have some callers. They call in. They say, that's a 10, you know, on the insect scale. Insult scale. That's a 10. That's a 5. It's a 4. That'd be interesting because that's about a 9, 8 or 9, because it's got a good blend of stupidity in it, irrationality, insults, just inconsistency and all kind of stuff. Oh, my goodness. But that was good. I enjoyed that one. Oh, you know, to me, that's refreshing. I mean, you know, and if you're driving around, you're listening to me talk like this, you go, that boy's got problems. Yep, that's right. Yeah, that is true. Let's get on the air here with Clay from North Carolina. Clay, welcome. You're on the air.
Happy Friday, brother, man. I'm going to tell you what, these things that you get, you know, I'm okay, could we call it love-hate mail or hate-love mail?
Well,
don't know what...
I have a category called love and hate mail, and I just read the. I can read some love mail though. I could do that sometime, but it's not as interesting. It's not as fun.
You know what?
What?
You're not an insect. You're an inspiration, brother, because you're always, and the Lord is leading you to always bring forth scripture to what people are saying. This person that whoever sent this does not know the Lord. KNOW, because they don't have the Lord in their life, and they want to sit there. I am so thankful to the Lord for you because, you know, it's just, you bring out the stuff that probably nobody else will bring out. I'd love to walk alongside you and help you do that. And I know you got things you got to do, but I tell you, brother, I commend you for what you're doing. I don't know if you've heard, earlier I called in, Brother Steve Noble has a show that he does from 4 to 5 on Truth Radio. Truth Radio, and I'm thankful that you're on from 6 to 7. But okay. From I heard and understand that the president who used to be president is going to get impeached for a possible third time. Have you heard anything about that?
No. Well, I heard that they're trying to do something. They're deathly afraid of Trump, and they're just trying to do whatever they can. It just shows you how unethical the left is, how cowardly they are. You know, they can't win fairly. They have to throw elections. They have to accuse people of racism all the time. They're afraid of Trump. They do whatever they can to stain his name now. And then they take people who were invited into the Capitol on January 6th, by the police that were there, though they're being now arrested as insurrectionists, you know, and compared to Iraq.
I tell you, brother, I got to listen. I went to this Freedom Rally here in the Raleigh area, mm-hmm. And I went to this Freedom Rally, and I got to hear five godly men, two who are senators and three who are on the General Assembly House of Representatives, and I got to hear them say that we need to unite as one. We say that we are Christians. We need to unite and bring all that forward and bring all that out. And you know, honestly, I went up to them and I thanked each one of them. And I looked at them and I said, not only you're appointed in this position, the Lord appointed to you, but he's anointed you to be here. You know, I tell you, brother, it's just really... you know, they say that we're only supposed to be afraid and fearful and scared of certain things. I'm just really fearful of the continuance that is continuing to go on, which is really shouldn't be happening. But I mean, this is how, you know, the evil one works, mm-hmm. because of all the stuff that's going on. We're seeing prices rise, gas, food, stuff that we need to have in our lives and all this other stuff. And it's just like I was sharing with somebody earlier. I said, I don't feel that they care about us. They only care about themselves. No. Who wants to give themselves 130% raise and stuff like that? I just don't think that's fair. But you know what? I thank you for what you do. I thank you for what you say and for what you lay on the table, because, you know, I read scripture as often as I can, as much as I can. And I shared it with somebody just yesterday. And you know, we just need to be unite with each other, come alongside each other, and be the people that the Lord has created us to be. Because, you know, from what I'm hearing from a few more people who are pastors, that we're getting closer and closer to God the Father sending His Son back.
Yeah, we are. That's right. And you know what? A good thing is a lot of people are starting to come together. And one of the things I want to do is start collecting praise reports and talking about some praise reports of how I think it's, 30 states or something like that are now posting or now moving towards constitutional carry or already passed laws for that. You know, that's a good thing. And people are becoming more aware of the ballot stuffing. People are more and more concerned about this. People are conservatives are getting in on the ground level of politics and local school boards. This is good stuff. So it's happening. All right, buddy.
Amen, brother. Well, God bless you, and thank you for everything you do. We'll talk to you after a while.
All right, man. God bless. Okay. Hey, folks, five open lines. Going to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Let's get on the air with Zachariah. Zach from Ohio. Zach, welcome. You're on the air.
Good evening, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I've got a pretty general question for you this evening. What's one thing that you wish you knew before you started apologetics?
Where I was going to go and what my future was going to be, so I could plan it out better.
Nope.
I wish I completed a doctorate, for example, and I still want to. Just don't have the time or the money, but I'll have to have done a doctorate. But You know, the thing that I found most valuable is three things, actually. Logic is very, very important, and theology. And so logic and theology and scripture memorization. These are the things that are the foundation, in my opinion, of apologetics. Now, that's not to say we don't pray and not the spiritual side, but just those things that we can work on is those. Yep.
Okay, I appreciate that. Do you have any books or resources other than your wonderful website for someone interested in beginning missions in apologetics?
Wow. I've got some books I've written. You can go to Amazon and just type in. Actually, if you go to the homepage, I believe. Let's see if I do this. If you go to the homepage, you'll see on the CARM site, you'll see latest books by Matt Slick. And you click on that, it'll take you to the link of varying things I've written. Now, The Time Trap is a sci-fi novel, and so it doesn't have any theology in it. There's only one page what has a dialogue that's useful in apologetics, dealing with the issue of logic, but that's not worth the whole thing for that book. There's Apologetics and Atheism and Atheistica. And I've written a Christian Defense Manual. And so we have different things there. But I plan to be writing more specific things on doing apologetics. It's just a matter of the problem is I just have so many oars in the water that it's difficult to just do one long, huge project that I need to do. That's what I'm hoping for. But yeah, anyway.
That's understandable. You've got a lot of work. So, all right. Well, thank you for that. And you have a good evening. Good weekend.
You too, man. Well, God bless. Thanks. Thanks for calling.
God bless.
All right. All right. Hey, folks, wide open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I have five open lines. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. All right. Hey, let's get back to some hate mail because I like it. I like hate mail. So I got a question for you. Do you like the hate mail or do you like my reactions to the hate mail? Because that's what I've been told lately. People say, man, I like it, how you react to it. And that's what they think is entertaining. But nevertheless, I'm curious about that. If you want to call up or let me know. Or even those in the chat room can let me know. All right, so check this out. Let's see. Correction. This is an email, okay? Correction. If you love the Father Almighty, don't base in the physical affliction, because today in our generation, today Lucifer kills you in spiritual, not in spiritual. If you cannot repent directly to the Father, well, it's up to you. You have your choice. Mm-hmm. Now, those aren't as enjoyable because, you know, it's like, what's going on? The person doesn't really know how to write, doesn't know how to think, maybe clearly, articulate, I don't know. So a while back, I was on the Janet Medford show, and the person said, wrote, I was shocked when your guest today lumped the ordination. Oh, because it was forwarded to me. I was her guest a few years ago. So this email's been around a bit in the hate area. I was shocked when your guest today lumped the ordination of women pastors and elders with ordaining active homosexual pastors as a sign of apostasy. You were shocked? Well, that means you don't know your scriptures. Homosexuality is a sin, and women pastors and elders is forbidden in scripture. And why would you want to do that? Women pastors and elders is wrong, folks. It's wrong. The Bible does not support it. The Bible speaks against it. But you know what's happening? People don't care. Hey, I have some feelings about this, and let's let the feelings trump scripture. Oh, that woman is called by God to be a pastor. Oh, the woman has giftings. Oh, so let's go by experience. Blah, blah, blah. And once again, here we go. After 17 years of being on radio 5 days a week, I'm going to once again offer to debate someone, a competent representative of that position, for women pastors and elders, over the debate title, Does the Bible Support Women Pastors and Elders? That's my polite debate. If you're a pastor out there and you say, Matt, you're wrong, okay, let's debate. Let's have a public debate on it using scripture. Let's do that. And guess what? They won't take me up on it. Why do you think that is? Because they know I'll go to Scripture. Period. Anyway. Okay, so he goes on. Why did you not catch this? He is biblically wrong, and from his attitudes about preaching to congregations, he sounded arrogant and condescending. Well, thank you very much. He goes on, I was quite appalled at his statement and know that God is not pleased. Wow. You know, I love talking to people like that in real time. They'll say, I know God's not pleased with you. Okay, why? Because you speak against women pastors and elders. All right, then that means that women pastors and elders is biblical, right? They're not speaking against Scripture, right? And they go, that's right. Show it to me in Scripture. And all of a sudden you can hear the wheels coming off their cart because they can't find it. Now they might quote a verse or two. They might go to the Old Testament. Deborah, that's not a pastor or an elder. Come on. And I've done this so many times over the years. Just show me in Scripture. And guess what? They don't. And guess why? Because it's not there. But the contrary is, yeah. He goes on, it would take too much to show you here that women in leadership is biblically sound and central to God's heart for the body to function. No, it's not. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. As the Spirit chooses to give gifts and raise up women to lead. No, he's not quoting a scripture at all. Sexual sin by leaders is always biblically wrong. Apostasy, end times, falling away. Much of this is based on not acknowledging Jesus as God and salvation through him alone, with his word as authority in our lives. Now he's making some sense with his authorities. His word is authority in our lives. Absolutely. So I would ask the person, go find women pastors in the Bible. Show us one woman pastor. Show us one woman elder in the Bible. Deal with the verses that says an elder, and an elder is a pastor. The elder must be anermias gunaikos, a husband of one wife, a man of one woman. How does that fit a woman? Oh, maybe nowadays it could. You know, we define women as. Wow. So he says, I was shocked and dismayed to hear his words. Pride and division are tools of Satan, and this man will have to answer for his accusation and sin. And you will have to answer for not confronting this lie. I won't be listening to your show any longer because of Jesus. And then, Catherine is the one who wrote that. Well, that makes sense, you know. Anyway, so there's that one. Hey, folks. We have a break coming up. If you want to give me a call, 5 open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show. 5 open lines, give me a call, 877-207-2276. Okay, so one of the things we're talking about here is about the issue of apostasy, that the hate mail individual, Catherine, didn't understand biblical theology in regard to women pastors and elders. And I once again offer that debate title, a debate topic, if anybody wants to take me up on it. I don't know how many times I've offered this over the years and just don't get, any debate acceptance. So what are some of the signs of apostasy in the Christian church? Let's go over a few of them and see what you, maybe think about your church. Is it there? And hopefully you go to a church where it's like, man, our church is great. So some of the things that would be a problem would be denying the basic doctrines of the Christian faith, the Trinity, the deity of Christ, and the Holy Spirit, salvation by grace. And because sometimes they teach that you have to do good works in order to be saved. That's apostasy. You have to do good works to keep yourself right with God. That's apostasy, folks. Bad news. One of the shameful things inside of Protestantism is the countless denominational divisions. That's bad. And incidentally, I'm reading off my article, What Are Some Signs of Apostasy in the Christian Church? And so another problem in the Christian church that's occurring, the so-called Christian churches, is the ordination of homosexuals. Any church that would ordain a practicing homosexual is not a Christian church. flat out, it's apostate and false. Women pastors and elders is a sign of apostasy. And it is. And if anybody wants to call me up and ask me why, more detail, I can explain it. Not preaching the gospel per 1 Corinthians 15 is another one. That the gospel is a death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. The gospel is not a social reconstruction to change society. The gospel is not your sincerity before God. It's a death, burial, and resurrection. Here's a one that a lot of Christians don't think about. It's using the Lord's name in vain. And I've known a lot of Christians over the years who will use the Lord's name in vain. And I pointed out to them, say, you know, you just used God's name in vain. And they'll say, no, I didn't. I said, yeah, you did. Let me explain. And I've had to preach on it before, and over the years, talk to many people about it. You know, don't use the Lord's name in vain. Here's another sign of apostasy. Not sending out or failing to support missionaries or cutting back unnecessarily, and that would be in violation of the Great Commission. Now, if you can't afford to, you know, support missionaries, oh, we get it. But the overall support of missionaries in the church is not good. Let's see, marketing and merchandising. A lot of times, marketing and merchandising is the primary goal. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a, you know, set of T-shirts, or, you know, you can't, like, at my books, you know, I've got books. You can go to Amazon.com and look up Matt Slick, and you'll see my books. And so I can advertise those. I can say, hey, I'll check them out. But, you see, that's not the primary goal. This is a ministry of apologetics and the defense of the Christian faith and marketing and stuff like that. That's not our goal. We just use things like that occasionally to help undercut the costs and stuff. But there are a lot of ministries where they push book after book after book. They push tape after tape after tape. And it's a constant revolving of things that are marketed. That's, I think, is a problem. Here's a sign of apostasy. Doesn't mean they're apostate. It just, you know, it's things to work on. It's pastors who are more concerned with growing a church than preaching the truth. Now, that's just a generic kind of a statement. You know, pastors should not be more concerned with growing a church. They should be more concerned with preaching the truth and equipping the saints. And if the church gets smaller in number as they preach the truth, then so be it. Because success is not measured by how many people come in. It's by how many people you're equipping for the work of ministry. And also, pastors who don't pray and seek God's face. Now, I'm sure most pastors do, you know, and they pray. But, I mean, if there are pastors who really don't pray much at all, don't seek God's face and counsel, that's a problem. Or pastors who give in to pressure from the church and congregate in contradiction to the Word of God. Now, that can happen because sometimes the congregation might want something that's not the biblically best thing to do. And the pastors who cave to that, no, that's not a good sign. They need to stand on the Word of God. Here's one. This is my pet peeve. It's a pet peeve for me, pastors who don't equip their congregation according to the Word of God. Because they're supposed to. That's what the Bible says. The pastor is supposed to equip them for the work of ministry. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. You know, they're supposed to do that. So, that's a pet peeve, especially for me. If they're not equipping them, if they're just babysitting them. I don't want to babysit them. Hey, they've got some more stuff we could talk about. We have four open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Jamal, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt Slick. Hope you're doing well today, sir.
Yeah, by God's grace. Yeah. So what do you got, brother?
That's good. Glad you're doing well. Wanted to call up with a two-parter if I could.
Sure.
All right, thank you. And as always, I really enjoy your show, and I'm thankful to God that, he's allowing you to put out the facts spread your ministry out to us that we can learn from it and empower us and people that we know. So with that being said, I want to ask about engraving images and if that also includes pictures of Jesus as a human. Would that also count as an engraven image?
Okay. Now we need to talk about what that means because it's important. What is a graven image? The graven image in the Bible is something used for worship. It refers to a carved image, a constructed image of some sort in the purpose and in the with religious dedication, fervor, honor that belongs to God, that's given to this image. Now, of course, the image is not their God. You talk to somebody, you know, they don't believe that the image they're holding in their hand is their God, but it's a representation of their God. And so graven images are those things used in religious worship where honor is given and centrality is given to that image, and it's not to happen. So, you know, I have two crosses, one metal, one wood, and occasionally I'll wear a cross. It's not a graven image. I don't use it in my worship. I don't lay it on my bed when I get on my knees and lay it before me, put my hands on it and start praying. I don't do that. You know, I pray to my Lord. I don't need any implements. I don't need any images. I don't need anything. And personally, I don't like any images of Jesus in my house. I don't want any false image to be presented of him. So I just, that's not something, you know. So, you know, we have a cross that's prominently visible in the house when you come in, and people know that we're Christian. And, you know, that's about it and stuff. So what about a crucifix where Jesus is still on the cross in the Catholic faith? Technically, I wouldn't call it idolatry or graven image because they're not using it, if they're not using it as a focus of worship, a focal point of worship, that's bad. If it's just something they have, okay, I wouldn't call it idolatry, even though I would never have one in my house. Unless it's research, I'm just researching having something like that. I would never wear anything like that because he's not on the cross. He's victorious. Amen. He's risen. So just stuff like that. I try to be gracious about it and stuff. And you know, want to wear a cross, wear a cross. You know, and there you go. Not a problem.
Okay, all right, that's good. My second one is a little complex. So if I have to expound or rephrase the question, you know, of course, just let me know. You know, I've made mistakes like other folks or like everybody, to be honest. So I was kind of wondering if mistakes I have made have kind of rerouted me from what God has destined for me to have.
You're asking if they have?
Yes. If the mistakes I made kind of had put me on a different trajectory.
Yes.
Than what God originally had for my original blessings. And then since I've made mistakes, then it took me on another path away from God's original blessings or other blessings he had for me.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, if say you're going to seminary to be a pastor, right, and you've been serving the Lord, and let's say that there's an individual. In fact, I can tell you that I knew of a gentleman in seminary, and it was dealt with, not maliciously, not with anger, but it was discovered he was slipping into homosexuality. And so they stepped in and the officials found out, and they were very kind and very loving and said, sorry, but you know it's not permitted here according to the rules which you've signed. And so he was politely removed from seminary. So an action can have a consequence like that. You want to hold? Because you got more talk about after the break. Okay, buddy? I got a break.
Yeah, I can hold.
All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back. 4 open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show on this great Friday. And we have 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Jamal, you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right, so graven images. So, did that answer that? Because, wait, we talked about that. Didn't you have another question? Oh, what was that question? I was doing other stuff during the break.
It was about mistakes taking you away from earlier blessing God had for you.
Yeah. And, you know, when you say that, you remind me of certain things in my past that I think have cost me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm serious. I got some regrets, huge regrets. But I know that God is sovereign through them, and he's not surprised by anything. We can still be used. He just might use us over here instead of over there. And he can bless us in that. So can we make mistakes? Absolutely. And can they have consequence? Absolutely. I knew a guy, for example, he was going into ministry, and a good Christian man, and married to a great Christian woman. And he told me the story of what happened, where he was at somebody's house, and a party was going on, no big deal. And he had a little bit of a drink, and then a little bit more. And he wasn't thinking anything about it, just being, and he had too much, and he ended up committing adultery because of it.
Wow.
And his wife divorced him. And he says there's no one to blame but himself, and he wasn't justifying anything. He said this is what happened. It was a situation he was in. He let it get out of control, and it destroyed the direction of his life. So, yeah, it can have effects. Yep. So we just got to be as good as we can. And when we mess up, we face it. We move forward and say, Lord, I move towards you. Please keep me from sin. And what I have failed, please work through it anyway. And he's sovereign. He's a king. Okay?
Most definitely. Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
All right, brother. God bless, man. All right. Hey, folks, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Look at the Jason from Virginia. Welcome, Jason. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I'll cut as straight to the question as I can, but just to give you a little backstory, my great grandfather was a United Brethren pastor, but I also found out not all that long ago that he was like a 32nd degree Mason, and it's been something that's been sort of like bugging me for a while. And like recently, like a show called Remnant Radio did a program where they were talking about like really getting into some of the spiritual stuff that the Masons are into, and I was just had some questions about, because I know I've heard your critiques of some of the deliverance ministries, and I just wanted to know what your advice is on, you know, like just making sure I've properly renounced so that I'm not like bringing down any kind of like curse on my head.
Okay. So what you do is you just talk to the Lord. And I think it's a good idea to verbally denounce the heritage, any possible connections. Speak out of ignorance. You don't know what might have been done. You don't know what connections might have been made. You don't know what present-day effects there might be. And just talk to the Lord. I like the idea of speaking out loud and things like that. You can do it quietly.
Right.
Okay? I don't know. There's something just more better, you know, about
right.
speaking out loud and things like that. I don't know what it is. And just go through and renounce. And I've done this various times in my life just to reassure, you know, of my past. Because I was involved specifically and directly in my own flesh in some very sinful things. And I've gone through and not repeatedly like 8 times a day, you know, for years, but, you know, every few years as I come back and just, you know, I'm going to visit this again. And Lord, and I talk, you know, I've renounced all this. And that's what you got to do, you know, just renounce it.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that it's needed because you're a child of God. And
right.
the Mason stuff, you know, it's of the darkness. But we don't know. This is what I meant by, you know, talking in ignorance. We don't know if there might be a spiritual connection still hanging over. We don't know. So I just pray,
right.
if there is, Lord, if there's something I just don't know about, I'm speaking ignorantly, I don't know, please, would you please redirect it or send your angels to help or put it upon my heart what to pray for. You know, you're just ignorantly depending on God, pleading with him, renouncing anything you could think of that might be connected, and you just move forward. And that's good enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, the other question I had in relation was because one of the things that this guy was talking about was he was saying that a lot of times the way these things, and I, you know, I just wanted to get your take on it too, but he said something, you know, like he finds it better that if you've already had kids, that you need to, that your kids need to do their own renunciation or whatever. Right. But if you haven't had kids yet, then you've broken the line. And I, you know, is that, do you see that as being biblical, or do you think that's just, you know?
You know, I like to err on the side of more caution.
Right, I can see that.
Yeah, not to keep salvation, that's ridiculous. But
right.
In things like that, you know, it's okay.
But to it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also like, you know, just, you know, I'm not worried about salvation of anybody, and you know, but I'm thinking in terms of, like, you know, sometimes spiritual warfare is a very confusing thing. There's not,
yes.
You know, there's the rules are hard to figure out sometimes.
It is, and with things like that, you take it to the Lord and speak to Him. Don't speak to any demonic forces or the spirit
right.
of masonry. You just talk to the Lord and lay it all before best you can, and you know, speak the ignorance, I like to call it. You know, just, you're not sure, talk about God with it, and or about it, and just move forward, and just, you'll be surprised. It's refreshing, and it's helpful. Because I know a lot of stuff, but there's things I'm like, I don't know how this works, Lord. I'm just looking to you, and that's it.
Right, and when you hear some of these people that are like, you know, like, I mean, I'll grant these people that they have a lot of experience in praying with people through these sort of past issues and family histories and things. It's just sort of one of those things where I've always seen it as like, I've always, you know, my experience and my, what I pick up from the scriptures seems like God is very into simplicity, and if you're just working with Him, you're pretty good.
Yeah,
it doesn't require a lot of formula all the time, but I know sometimes the formulas are helpful. So I don't know. That's why I really wanted to get your take on it too, because
yeah,
I know you're charismatic, but you're submitting it to biblical. And right now, I'm in a kind of place where, like, I believe in the charismatic gifts, and I've been in. Well, I've seen the abuses of them too, and right now I'm stuck in a church that's very cessationist. So it's kind of like, it feels lonely sometimes.
Yep, yeah, it does, and but that's what it is. You know, it's just what it is, and it's like, yeah, move forward and say, this is where God has me right now. That's what you got to do. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Matt. I appreciate everything, and I love your show. Just keep doing what you're doing, man. God bless you.
All right, man. Thanks. By God's grace. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. Let's get on the air with, let's see, that'd be Kat from Raleigh, North Carolina, whom we just lost. And let's get to Glenn from North Carolina. Glenn, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
Doing all right. By God's grace. What do you got, buddy?
The question, in Matthew chapter 8, 10 and 12, when Jesus is addressing the centurion, mm-hmm. and in verse 11 and 12, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In verse 12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness, and they shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, from the east, I know it's in the kingdom of heaven, and it doesn't mention north or south because God's throne is in the north, and south there referenced king, weeping and gnashing is hell. So the Lord makes a distinction between Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which we all know who they are, and we all know who the children of the kingdom are. Those are distinct two groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another third group there that he didn't name, but he said many.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was wondering if that many is like people of faith, considering Jesus is addressing the centurion there with his faith.
Okay. So what's your question?
Well, I was going to ask you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm here. I was going to ask you, the many, what did you think of that?
The many. You triggered a little something in me because there is something that very few people know about in Scripture. And how identical words and phrases can be used for opposite things, and contrasting things, like Romans 5:18. I'll go the simpler one. 1 Corinthians 15:22. In Adam all die; in Christ all shall be made alive. The word "all" can't be the same "all." It can't mean the same thing. When you go to Romans 5:19. For example, and I'll read that to you. It says here, because you're talking about the many, right? As through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Well, the same phrase is used in two different ways, right there. In Romans 5:18, so then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through an act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. The phrase "all men" can't be the same. And so the phrase "sons of the kingdom" in Matthew 8:12, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. Okay? But that phrase occurs in another place, because it says the sons of the kingdom are cast into outer darkness. Let's see, I just had it. Sons of the kingdom. Give it a little bit of its kingdom. Here we go. And, come on, here we go. So that's, in Matthew, okay. It says, and the field is the world, and as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. So the good seed in Matthew 13 is the sons of the kingdom. But in Matthew 8, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. So the exact same phrase is used in different senses. And I don't know of any other theologian, apologist, who's brought this out and who says that there are several cases in the Scripture where identical words and couplets or phrases mean different things. And I'm out of time. Darn it. Why don't you call back Monday so we can talk more about it, okay? I'm sorry. I was kind of laying a foundation to talk about something and ran out of time. I forgot what time it was. My apologies. Have a great weekend, okay, brother? All right?
All right. You too, brother. Bye-bye.
Okay. Hey, folks. May the Lord bless you. Wow. And by His grace, back on here on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.